Well, glory to God. I said glory to God. What a mighty God we serve. Amen? What a mighty God we serve. Well, are you ready for the Word? Are you ready for the Word of God today? Well, let me tell you what we are going to get into, and I believe I'm just going to be able to introduce it today, and we'll move forward with it as we go along, maybe in a series, but some weeks ago, it may have been months now, I think it was during our prayer time, our pre-service prayer time, God gave Gene Smith a word, and he said, waves of joy. Wasn't it during prayer time, I believe, Gene? Waves of joy here, coming to Christian Growth Center. Waves of joy. So I wanted to talk today about joy and really what joy is and how can we wrap our thinking around that, or not even our thinking, but how can we understand that better? And so hopefully today I believe the Spirit of God is going to speak to you about having some joy in your life. Amen? We've been talking about the power of the Holy Spirit for the miraculous. We talked about the power of the Holy Spirit and the resurrection of Jesus. And we talked about the power of the Holy Spirit in your own life, how He is brings dead things back to life, really, is what we were talking about. Well, now I want to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit to bring joy in your life. How many need more joy in their life? Huh? I mean, really, come on. How many need more joy in your life? Do you know what joy is? Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But in Romans chapter 14, in verse 17, and I'm going to read out of the Amplified today. Romans 14, 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. I know some of y'all got sad at that saying right there alone. It is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Where is the joy coming from? I just read it. The Holy Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit. Let me give you a short definition of what joy is. A glorious and triumphant state. A glorious and triumphant state. Well, it's different. Some people associate happiness with joy. You know, they kind of use that interchangeable. And I want to differentiate the two, especially how it is presented biblically, how joy is different from happiness. You see, happiness, and this is the definition of happiness, the agreeable sensations which spring from the enjoyment of good or that state of being in which desires are gratified. Do you see where we're going with that? Agreeable sensations which spring from the enjoyment of good or that state of being in which desires are gratified. See, we rely on our senses to tell us whether we're happy or not. Don't we? I mean, we rely on our senses to tell us whether we're happy or not. And in other words, our circumstances basically dictate whether we're happy. That's the definition of happiness, right? Whereas joy is the fulfillment despite our circumstances. Do you see the difference? Happiness relies on our circumstances to tell us that we're happy, right? Joy is there whether what it knows, no matter what circumstance you're in or going through, no matter what storm of life you're going through, you can still have joy. Yes. Amen? Yes. And it's the only way to have joy is by a revelation of the one that lives inside of you, in whom we live and move and have our being. I know y'all have heard that before. Pastor Rob, that was one of many messages that came to mind, and he spoke specifically on that, how we live and move and have our being in Him. Amen? That's when joy truly comes, when we have a revelation of that. In fact, Acts chapter 17, verse 28 says it like this. Let me get over there to it. Acts 17, verse 28 in the Amplified reads this. It says, for in Him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. Because we are the offspring of God, we live and move and have our being in Him. And then if you flip over a couple pages to Romans 8, it says it like this. It says, so that the righteous and just requirement of the law might be fully met in us who live and move, not in the ways of the flesh, but in the ways of the Spirit, our lives governed not by the standards and according to the dictates of the flesh, but controlled by the Holy Spirit. You see, happiness operates from the dictates of the flesh where our desires are gratified, right? I mean, you think about it, what so you've heard people say, well, I'm not happy unless I have more money. I'm not happy unless, my favorite team wins the big game. Huh? How many things affect us in that way? I'm not happy unless my house is clean. Are some of y'all like that? You say, Reggie said, yeah. But what makes you happy in there? Just think about it. What gratifies your flesh to make you happy? What things do that? You know, children. I'm not happy unless my children are safe, secure, successful, making right judgments. What else? What other things that you can throw in there that you're not happy unless they are happening in your life? Just think about that a minute. What things have to occur in your life to make you happy? But joy comes when we are controlled by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So what does it mean to be controlled by the Holy Spirit to experience true joy? To experience fulfillment, what? Despite our circumstances. That's true joy. So I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you what it is. I want you to take note, take heart, and practice these things because it'll bring joy to your life. Amen? You see, Jesus gave us keen insight into this mystery and is well-known, most quoted, probably most taught about passage in the entire Bible. Can anybody tell me what it is? Sermon on the Mount. I had to prod you a little bit there. Sermon on the Mount. Probably is, you talk to scholars, probably the most famous words given by Jesus. I say famous. The most quoted, the most taught on, the most shared in churches is his Sermon on the Mount. But, and I was going over this and I was reading over that in Matthew chapter 5, his account. And I'd really never, because I was talking, the Holy Spirit was rising up in me to share about joy. And I remembered Gene Smith's word and waves of joy, waves of joy. What does that mean, Lord? I was asking him. This is how I was just saying, Lord, what does that mean? What does it mean, waves of joy here at Christian Growth Center? What does that look like? Tell me, show me. And so I believe he started talking to me through his word. And this is what he showed me from that passage that I'd really never seen before. So I hope that the Holy Spirit gives you ears to hear what He's saying today. Amen? Not what I'm saying, what the Holy Spirit is saying. So what does it take to experience true joy in our lives? Well, Jesus gives us a wonderful list. A wonderful list. Y'all know them. If I said them, you would right away know them. They're called the B. Yes! All right. The Beatitudes. They are called the Beatitudes. He gives us a wonderful list. And I love how the Amplified expands and explains that word. What's the first word it starts at? Each sentence starts, or each? Blessed. Blessed. So as you break that down, let's look at that. Blessed in the Amplified says happy. We're going to get back to that. It's not a contradiction. It says to be envied and spiritually prosperous with life, joy and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation. And here's the key, regardless of their outward conditions. Regardless of their outward conditions. Let me read that again. Happy, to be envied, and spiritually prosperous with life, joy and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward condition. Now that is a glorious and triumphant state. Wouldn't you agree? Definition of joy, a glorious and triumphant state. So how do we get to that state? Well, he tells us. This is just one key. But by operating in those Beatitudes. And happy's not contradicting, because it says happy regardless of their outward conditions. Happiness, by definition, is what did we just read about? It's our flesh. It's caving to our flesh and what our flesh desires. This is happy regardless of our outward conditions. So let's read that. Let's read Matthew chapter 5. Read the Beatitudes out of the Amplified. And I pray that the Holy Spirit shows you. And you know, I mean, I've heard testimony after testimony, and I can say for myself that no matter how many times I read the Scripture, whether I read the same scripture again and again or come back to it months later or years later, I always, always glean something different from it. So I pray that as we read this, that you are going to glean from the Scriptures what true joy is and how you can apply it and have it in your life. Amen? So Matthew chapter 5, and I'm just going to start out in verse 1 here. It says, seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain. He's talking about Jesus. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, you know, every time Jesus opens his mouth, it's a good idea to listen. Amen? Every time the Holy Spirit nudges you, tugs on you, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's not going to come and kick you, prod you with a cattle prod or beat you over the head. He is going to draw on the inside of you. Every time you have that, listen. Listen. Amen? He taught them and said, blessed, happy to be envied and spiritually prosperous with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward condition, are who? Are the poor in spirit, that is the humble, who rate themselves insignificant, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I'm going to read down and then we'll come back and expand on it. But verse 4. Blessed and enviably, you got it, happy, with a happiness produced by the experience of God's favor, and especially conditioned by the revelation of his matchless grace, are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed, happy, blithesome, joyous, spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the meek, the mild, patient, long-suffering, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed and fortunate and happy and spiritually prosperous in that state in which the born-again child of God enjoys his favor and salvation are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We've been talking a lot about being hungry for the things of God. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God, for they shall be completely, completely satisfied. Verse 7, blessed, happy, to be envied, and spiritually prosperous with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed, happy, enviably, happiness, enviable happiness. I'm going to get that soon. Enviably fortunate, come on, and spiritually. Y'all just stop. I'm going to stop right there. I'm getting too far ahead of myself. I need y'all to draw on this word. Amen.
Amen.
Draw on this word so that I can speak it out. Give me utterance in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Speak out the things of God. Glory to God. Make a draw. Amen. Help me here. Help me. I need your help. Verse 8, blessed, happy, enviably fortunate, and spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions. We're really hammering this home here. Of their outward conditions are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed, enjoying enviable happiness, spiritually prosperous, with joy, life joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the makers and maintainers of peace, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed and happy and enviably fortunate and spiritually prosperous in the state in which the born-again child of God enjoys and finds satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of his outward conditions, are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for being and doing right, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed, happy to be envied, and spiritually prosperous with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of your outward conditions, are you when people revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely on my account, on Jesus's account. And then I love verse 12. Be glad and supremely joyful. Not just joyful, supremely joyful. For your reward is in heaven, great, strong, and intense. For in this same way people persecuted the prophets who were before you. There's a list there. And we just said what joy was, right? Joy was, and that word blessed, it expands on that. And it says, and it gives a definition, regardless. You can have joy regardless of your outward conditions. Regardless of what your job is dictating to you. Regardless of what your family may be going through right now. Regardless of people attacking you for your beliefs. Regardless of all that, you can still have joy. How? Let's look at that list in more detail, or let's break it out. Number one, the poor in spirit. We need to practice these things in our life. What does that mean, poor in spirit? You know, Luke has a partial version of this sermon, and his just says poor, and some people take that indirectly and think financially. You have to be poor to be joyous. That's not what he's saying here. Poor in spirit simply means humble, or to rely solely on God, not in your own thinking. You can't do it on your own. But to be poor in spirit, rely solely on God. Humble yourself and rely on God to get you through any situation. And when you do that, you can be joyful in that situation. Amen? Mourn. Blessed are those that mourn. Or we could say joyful. I'm telling you, and I may not be saying it exactly like I'm hearing it, but I know by the Holy Spirit He can translate it to you exactly how you need to hear it. Amen? Yes. Blessed are those that mourn. Why? Message. We have a message of hope. When we mourn, what do we mourn? We mourn for sometimes deaths. Sicknesses, lost, the lost. We mourn for the lost. I mourn for the lost, don't you? Don't you want every single person that is alive in earth today to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior? I mourn for those people. I long for them to see Jesus. That type of mourning. But we have a message of hope, so I can have joy in that message of hope that I speak to them. I can have joy in someone's sickness because I have the answer for them and the healing, atonement blood of Jesus Christ. And I can be joyful even in death. Because one, if they're a believer, I know where they are, safe and secure. And I know that I'll see them again. And I can minister joy to the family in that hope. That's how you can have joy in mourning. Blessed are the meek. Meek don't mean weak. Just because you're meek, you ain't weak. Blessed are the meek. They're patient, right? People are meek. Meek people are patient. Very patient. Yes. The example of meekness. Meek. Help you. Those that hunger, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. We've been talking about hunger, being hungry for the things of God. You know, and the deeper you dig into the things of God, the more hungry you get. And that brings great joy. I'm telling you, when you are studying and praying and diving in and digging into the things of God, talking to God on a regular basis. We just talked about that this morning. Spending time with God changes you. It changes you on the inside, and then it manifests itself on the outside so that others see that. So we want to be hungry for the things of God. We want to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why? So that other people's lives can see that. The evidence is visible, and they'll want what we have inside of us. Blessed are the merciful. You know, God, His mercies are new every morning, so why shouldn't ours when dealing with situations in our life, when dealing with people in our life? Why can't we show mercy just as God showed mercy? When He sent His Son, His one and only Son, to die for each one of us. If He shows mercy and His mercies are new every morning, then our mercies should be new every morning. And when you can do that, when you can forgive, I'm telling you, joy will rise up on the inside of you like you've never experienced before. When you show mercy to someone, it makes you joyous. It's that spirit of joy inside of you that comes forth. Blessed are the pure in heart. Those that, you know, I was thinking about this. I was meditating on this. And blessed are the pure in heart. There are a lot of people that do a lot of things that you may not like. But a lot of those things aren't on purpose. A lot of those things they feel from their heart what is right. So we can combine that other one, have mercy on them. And then recognize why they're doing it and then have joy in that situation. Even though it may have harmed you or hurt you in some way or offended you. And hopefully you don't have that spirit of offense. But you can have joy in that situation because blessed are the pure in heart. Amen? Blessed are the peacemakers and maintainers. How many are a peacemaker in your family? All right. So half of y'all are peacemakers, the other half stirring up trouble. You know, isn't it amazing? I'm going to go out on a limb here. Isn't it amazing how God puts a peacemaker with another person? A peacemaker with another person?
Wow, hallelujah. Wow.
To bring the balance back. Now, I'm not saying that's a male and female thing. That's just in our particular circumstance there. Blessed are the peacemakers. I'm telling you what, when you bring peace to a situation, whatever it is, whether it's in your marriage, in your life, in your family, at your job, wherever that may be, when you bring peace to that situation, there's great joy in that. You can take joy in that. And those that are around you that are benefiting from that peace, there's great joy.
Yes.
Great joy in that. Blessed are those that are the peacemakers. Yes. We're blessed. We are blessed. I didn't say any names. I said blessed. Blessed are those that are persecuted for doing right and proclaiming Jesus. You are going to walk in great joy when you are doing right and proclaiming Jesus, no matter what persecution comes from that. You can walk in joy because why? You know that you're doing right. You know, I don't know where we were talking about this. I think Tricia was talking about it, maybe at one of the prayer classes or a prayer time on Wednesday night. But we were talking about how when, you know, God has a plan and a purpose for each one of you. Right? If you've sat in here for any time at all, you understand that. You know that, or you at least have heard it. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. And when you are not walking in that plan or that purpose, I'm speaking from experience. I am the most miserable person you feel on the planet. And some people don't even know why they're miserable. But it's because they are not fulfilling the plan of God on their life. Amen? So when you are fulfilling God's plan, and part of His plan, we cannot get away from it, is the ministry of reconciliation. Part of His plan is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now that takes many forms. We talk about it all the time. I'm not saying you have to stand on a street corner and quote scripture and yell at people. That may be your thing, and that's okay. You know, it may just be talking to someone on the job or meeting someone in the marketplace or, you know, whatever that looks like or is. We have that ministry within us, and it is our responsibility. It is our duty. We are accountable for that, how we minister the gospel to everyone that we come in contact with. Amen? And when we're doing that, I'm telling you, when we are doing that, if you would just step out, if you would just step out on that plank, if you will, of ministry of reconciliation, whatever that is, however that operates in your life, and do it, the joy that floods your heart from it, the joy. I remember a couple that came to see me. This is when we were down in Florida ministering, and they had come to church a couple times, and he came into my office, brought his wife, and she was born again. He was not. He was, there were a lot of things going on. Let's just put it like that. And he came and had some questions and was asking some questions, very good questions, I believe. And, you know, the Holy Spirit just prompted me, just give him Jesus. He was getting into, you know, legalism and different things. And you know, I know, and I don't know why I'm sharing it, but I know the enemy was manipulating him, if you will, to try to get me into a debate, if you will, with him. And I just like that, that quick, the Holy Spirit prompted me, just give him Jesus. And I said, what do you know about Jesus? And that's all it took. And that opened up and it took the conversation in a whole different way. He ended up receiving Christ that day. And the joy that just bubbled up on the inside of me. There was such joy in there. Because I knew, you know, that I knew that that's God had me in that moment, at that time, for that purpose. And I was obedient. Thank God I was obedient. But how many, and that's just one time. But I've missed it so many other times. I have missed it so many other times. But there now is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And just because He didn't use me in that one moment where I missed it doesn't mean He didn't use someone else to fulfill that. Amen? But joy. We're talking about joy. And, you know, joy in your life, it's important. It is so important. And I hope I made the distinction here between happiness and joy. Happiness relies on your circumstances. Happiness relies on your flesh being gratified. Joy is regardless of your circumstances. Joy is regardless of what your flesh is crying out for. Amen? And then that scripture, it goes on to say that if we have these intrinsic essential qualities, and I just read the list there, poor, blessed are those that are poor in the spirit, blessed are those that mourn, blessed are those the meek, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, and blessed are those that are persecuted for doing right and proclaiming Jesus. If you practice those, if you have those things operating in your life. Those are essential, intrinsic qualities. If we don't, though, what does it say? That very next verse, it talks about us being the salt of the earth. But if we've lost our savorness, I don't know if that's the word, savorness, yeah, something like that. What does it say? Be cast out and trodden underfoot. What that tells me is if I've lost my joy, if I don't have joy in my life, operating in these things that we just talked about, then I won't say worthless, but you're cast out to be trodden underfoot. You've lost your savor. You've lost your appeal for God in this, to use you in this earth in others' lives. Does that make sense? So keep this list handy. Write it down. Make it simple. Make it plain. And compare it to your life daily if necessary. Am I walking in these things? Am I doing these things? You know, just like we were talking about in prayer class, am I spending time with God? That's another. Am I spending time with God? Well, in spending time with God, He'll point these things out and He'll show you in your life. He'll show you. Compare these things in your life. And operate in them if you want to experience true joy. Now, if you don't want to experience joy, just don't worry about them at all. Close the book, go on home, have you a nice meal, don't worry about today. But I'm telling you, if you will genuinely, sincerely seek God out in these things, it's only eight. And I'm not a list person. I don't like to go by lists, typically. But in this case, you can see it in Scripture. So what is joy? It's fulfillment or happiness despite our circumstances. Despite our circumstances. Because it's the joy of the Lord that is our strength, right? We know that from Scripture, right? But it must be practiced. How many people, when they first got born again, experienced the joy of the Lord? I know I did. How many people maintained that joy from that moment until now? That's what Beth Ann just did. It's like a roller coaster, right? You're up there, you're joyful, and then, man, you're down here. We don't want that. We want this. We want this when it comes to joy. Amen? And when we obey the words of Jesus, our joy is made full. John 15, verse 10 says it like this. If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in His love. I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be of full measure and complete and overflowing. Did y'all get that? His joy is delight, and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be of full measure and complete and overflowing. If what? If you keep my commandments. If you keep my word. And we just talked about some keys in His word. If you will practice humility. If you will practice the message of hope. If you will practice being patient. If you will hunger and thirst for righteousness. If you will practice mercy. If you will practice being pure in heart. If you will practice being a peacemaker and a peace maintainer, and if you will practice proclaiming Jesus regardless of persecution, if you will do those things in your life, your joy may be a full measure, complete, and overflowing, Scripture says. Amen?
Amen.
Do y'all receive that today?
Yes.
Do you receive the joy of the Lord? Do you commit to practicing being in joy all the days of your life? I feel like I'm performing a wedding. This is like a ceremony. No, but listen, these are just key nuggets, tools, resources that I believe God wants us to have for such a time as this. Because we know, we see the world around us. You know, it's been said for years and years and years back, way back. You know, it's funny how every generation sometimes sees the previous generation as better than theirs, you know, especially when it comes to kids, I think, and what's going on in the lives of kids. But for such a time as this, we must make our joy full so that it explodes. Explodes from within us and affects everyone in its path. Amen?
Amen?
Father, I thank you. I thank you for the joy of the Lord exploding in our hearts. I thank you, Lord, that you have ministered your word to us today and that we are not going to leave it. No, we are going to take it up. We're going to stand firmly on your word. And Lord, we are going to go forth in the joy of the Lord and affect lives around us. Lord, we don't even have, sometimes we can just walk into a room and it's going to affect people in a way that draws them unto you. Not that we want to be them to be drawn unto us, but unto you. The Spirit of the Lord that lives inside of us, the joy that lives inside of us, that manifests itself on the outside, whether in our countenance or in our speech or in our actions. Lord, help us. Show us. Show us, Lord. Show us your plan for each and every person's life in here. And help them to walk it out. Bring laborers along our sides to walk with us, to lift us up, to encourage us, to edify us, to be co-laborers in the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of God. So Father, we thank you for this. We receive it and we seal it by the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.